I've thoroughly enjoyed the Holy Spirit series that Bruce has been doing. Because it's all about him. It's all about Holy Spirit. All about Holy Spirit. And what they provide, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, what they provide in our lives. And it goes along really well with what the Lord's been speaking to me about since last September, is a revival of perspective. Because oftentimes, our predetermined thoughts, our predetermined ways that we've always done things, get in the way of walking with Holy Spirit. Because we've already decided what he's going to say. So, let's just read the first verse that Bruce has been using for weeks. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So I want you to participate a little bit with me right now. And I want you to think about a person or a situation that is consuming your thoughts. Get it in your mind. Person or situation that is consuming your thoughts. Now, I want you to think about your thoughts. What are you thinking? What are you thinking about that situation? We just sang, Jesus, your name is life. Are your thoughts ones of life? It's really quiet in here. Are you thinking? If there's illness in your family, in your body, how are you thinking? Is your first thought, is your first thought, I'm hurt. I can't. I'm so lonely. I can't do anything. I can't. Is that your first thought? Or is your first thought, Jesus is my healer? Do you see the difference in the two thoughts? He gave us a choice, death and life. What's your first thought? If you lost a job, what's your first thought? What's your first thought? Is it, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to make it. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know. Or is it, Jesus is my source. He's my provider. I have nothing to fear. Do you see the difference between the types of thought? Now I'm going to do a little bit of meddling. What if it's something in the church that's spiritual? Yeah. My favorite little person is talking. What if it's something in the church? Do you have a set thought about how it's supposed to happen? Or you say, God, I want whatever you've got for me. I want you to, and this was actually my thought this week. Like, Lord, I want you to blow away my thoughts about who you are. Because if he's only what I think, that's frightening. I want him to show me so much more and blow away my thoughts about it. So, actually, I'm going to quick, before we read this next verse, what popped into my mind on the way, yes, somewhere yesterday, was the disciples went through a training. They grew up in a society that had very strict religious rules, and it was interwoven in everything they did. Pharisees are the other one that popped into my head. The disciples went through 3.5 years of training, and actually a little bit longer, about changing how they thought and how they looked at things. 11 of them came to the point where they went on to change the world. The 12th did not. And he betrayed Jesus. Judas betrayed him because he couldn't get past what he thought should be. Many of the Pharisees could not get past what they thought Messiah should be, even though salvation was standing right in front of them. They couldn't get past this. So we're going to take a look at one of the many examples in Scripture of someone that could. And I loved what he said in one of his last points, Bruce said, last week. We got to cast off old thinking. So let's look at Mark 5:24. Now this example is actually in the middle of another example because of what's happening around him at the time. Because before this verse, Jairus had come to him and said, heal my daughter. She's on death's doorstep. So here's another man who's changing his mind and his thinking about what can be. Mark 5:24. So Jesus went with him, Jairus, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him. So if you know what that means, there's a lot of people and they're bumping up against him. They're all around him. Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. And then the first part of 27, when she heard about Jesus. For 12 years, she did what she knew to do. She tried everything. She spent everything she had. She tried what she knew. But God. And it says, when she heard about Jesus, everything changes. But before we move on, let's talk about this. 2 Corinthians 10:3-5. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments. Other words for that, the meaning of those words, speculations, reasonings, thoughts, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. I like this because I think oftentimes I thought casting down arguments. I actually thought about, I think, for quite a while, that being with other people. Like they were arguing the wrong things, you know, whatever. And I started looking at this and I'm like, it's mine. What am I believing that is hindering me from walking and doing what Holy Spirit's telling me to do? What are those thoughts, those ones we were talking about earlier, our first thoughts that draw us away from God instead of to Him, that draw us towards death instead of towards life? What are those things that I've predetermined that are blocking what He wants to do and show me something new? As a child, I know you've heard quite a bit from Laura and I about my mother. Wonderful, wonderful woman. Full of mercy, full of love, all the time. It's amazing. I am not that same person. As a kid, I always had to do everything right. Never got in trouble. I didn't. But that bred in me something that wasn't mercy, that wasn't grace. It was law. It was harsh. It was black and white. And if I thought you were wrong, exactly. Whoa. That's what my vision was like in my early 20s. If I thought you were wrong, you were lower than dirt. And here I came and lived my life with a mother who showed me mercy and love, and I'm thank God she did, because I learned it. I got to learn what that looks like, because I fell down and I was shown mercy and I was shown grace and what that looks like from someone, I mean, from my mother too, but from someone else. And I was like, oh, but if I would have held to that, it could have destroyed me. Because I would have been dirt. But instead, I'm like, oh, that's who He is. He's shown me my whole life who He is. But until I experienced that and was open to that from a place of hurt, did I realize and find out something new about my Jesus? So I'm hoping as I'm talking that you guys are actually thinking about what are those things in my life that I'm holding so tight to that I can't hear what Holy Spirit's dropping in my heart. What am I holding to this so tight? Is it fear? Is it fear of failure? Is it fear that something's not going to turn out right? Is it fear that I'm not going to do it right? Fear and love. What are you holding on to? I keep coming back to fear because that's like hitting me like a punch in the gut right now. Are you going to choose to let go of that? Because He says, I am peace. Are you hanging on to worry? He says, worry for nothing. Be anxious about nothing. Is he your source? Are you worried about provision? He says, I'm your provider. I grew up in a home that didn't have a whole lot of money. Being there was seven of us children to feed, that was probably part of it. But we never lacked, not once. I never saw my mom worry, heard my mom worry, nothing. My dad was not a worrier. We never lacked. What are you holding on to? What is it? Are you holding on to how your parents taught you? Some of it could be good. But are you ready to let go of a good thing for a God thing? Some of it's not good. Some of it's downright abusive. And it's our norm. Are you ready to let go of that and see joy and peace and patience and love in your life? What are you holding to? Some of you, I think, are white-knuckled. I know I was, to right and wrong. A friend of mine, they had sex before marriage. Oh my gosh! The world ended. Because there's no grace or anything. You know, Jesus didn't die for all that. Hello. You know, but seriously, what are you holding so tight to that is making you blind and deaf to the Holy Spirit? Is it anger? Anybody have an anger short temper? What does anger do to you? It makes you blind and deaf. All you can see is what's wrong. But what does he bring? Peace and a sound mind. I loved what Bruce said last week. A sound mind is not only what you have, it's who you have. We get to have him change and mold our perspective. Because if we try to do it, it's like beating your head on a wall. Sometimes it just doesn't work. Okay, let's keep reading. So the first one, she cast off her old thoughts. Ooh, I got to read something else to you. I thought this was good, because my second point is, she put her belief into action. And I wrote this question down. I said, are your responses ones that focus on the situation or on the belief that with God, all things are possible? Did you catch that? Are your responses ones that focus on the situation or on your belief that with God, all things are possible? Let that sink in. Our first thoughts should be what we believe about our God. They should be, because we quote the scripture all the time. With God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. And then we leave and we go and work is cruddy. And we're like, I don't know how I'm going to get through all this. I don't know what to do. I don't know. Instead, we could go to work and it's cruddy and say, Lord, what's the solution? With you, this is possible. I can do this. Holy Spirit, show me. He knows better than me. I've worked a long time doing what I do, but I know He knows better than me. Has your perspective been so washed by what you believe that He becomes the driver of your steps? Has your perspective been so washed that He drives your steps? Like He says, I order the steps of the righteous. But are you going, I gotta go over here still because this is what I believe. And you're taking your own steps and you wonder why it's hard. Let's keep going. She put her belief into action. Mark 5:27. When she heard about Jesus, she came behind Him in the crowd and touched His garment. For she said, if only I may touch His clothes, I shall be made well. She not only heard, she left everything she had done before and said, all I have to do, I know it, all I have to do is go and touch His garment. She didn't even touch Him. She touched His garment. She took action on what she believes. Some of us in here have been believers for decades. And we say we believe. Are we acting on that belief? Are we acting on, with God all things are possible? Are we acting on the fact that the gifts of the Spirit are alive in us and has nothing to do with my personality? Love should radiate because He is love. Joy should radiate because He is joy. Peace should be my daily experience, moment by moment experience, because it's who He is. Is peace your daily experience? Is love your daily experience? Is joy your daily experience? Moment by moment. Who? He is so much self-control. Working on that. Being daily and moment by moment. Is it your daily experience? She took action. She took action. And immediately, verse 29, immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. Action. God loves when we act. And we put our belief in action and step out in faith saying, Lord, I know it. I know You have it. You are life. You are healing. You are power. And He's given us Holy Spirit. Sound mind, power, and love. You have it. Yay. You have it. You're not lacking in any way. You do not lack. We were, Miss Natalie, we were doing a ladies' Bible study on Tuesday mornings on Holy Spirit. And I got stuck on day 43, Natalie. I read the other ones, but I was stuck on 43. Because it was this story. And it kept speaking to me, it kept speaking to me. And part of this, I'm just going to quote a little bit of the book. It's Bill Johnson's book. While everyone was pressing in close and touching Jesus. So everyone knew Jesus was a good thing. That was there. You know, they're obviously pressing in to get something from Jesus. She alone saw what was available to her in the touch. And the reason we know that is because lots of people were touching him. But she alone was healed by that touch. Her perception is another word for perspective. Her perception gave her access to life. Your perception or your perspective and how you see things and how you choose to think about things will give you access to life and to miracles by Holy Spirit. One of the biggest miracles I have ever seen is watching someone change their mind. My dearest friend, who is my sister, grew up hating men. Hating is putting it nicely, I think. Hating men because her father abused her and her uncle abused her. And to watch God cleanse that was the greatest miracle I've ever seen. Because every moment that anytime she talked about men, she said, they all. And I watched her do it. I watched God do it through my brothers, my goofy brothers. They are fun. You've seen some of them here when they come and visit. They have all sorts of fun. They will pick at you just like any brother would. But they love you and will show you what love looks like. They will hug you. They're just all over it. They're like my mother. And she never wanted to be touched by a man in any way. And my younger brother at church every Sunday would give her a long hug. Every Sunday. At first, she stood there. Just stood there, stiff as a board. Like, why are you touching me? Why are you touching me? And pretty soon, she started reciprocating. And I watched God take that hate, that bitter, icky root and remove it and cast it away. And it is no longer that. So if he can do it for her about that, he can do it for you about anything. If it's fear, let go. He said, with him there is no fear. He didn't give you fear. Fear is the opposite of love. And it is paralyzing. Sorry, it just brought this story to my head. When we were in Paris with my younger sister and my aunt, Brian and I and my other niece, Casey, we're all up in the top of the Eiffel Tower, which is kind of high. We were all out looking. We were like immediately going out and looking and taking pictures and doing all sorts of silly things. And I look back and my sister comes out of the center and there's this wall and she's like trying to get out of the doorway. And then I look and my aunt's doing the same thing. I'm like, what are you guys doing? Like it was, my sister said, she goes, the whole time we were going up, I just felt like I couldn't breathe and I couldn't. That's what fear does to you. It immobilizes you. You can't think logically. You can't move and do and enjoy. Casey wanted a picture with her mom so bad that Lou had to turn around and walk backwards so that we could take a picture going out instead of the brown metal of the Eiffel Tower. Fear just takes away your ability. Holy Spirit is your ability. Lean there. I'm not saying that the fear might not try, but speak life. No. I don't have a spirit of fear. Holy Spirit, let's go. Holy Spirit, let's go. He'll go with you. He never leaves you. Never, never, never. Peter, he's one of my favorites. He put belief into action and stepped out of the boat. Now, did he sink? Yep, but what did he do? He took his eyes off Christ. Are you ready to go and willing to grow with a little bit of failure and go, oh, no, okay, wait, just readjust. Let's go back to life. Third one that she actually, Jesus and her, awareness of the Holy Spirit working. Mark 5:30. And Jesus, I love this, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? And the disciples are like, seriously? You see the multitude thronging you and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see her. See, he already knew who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. So let's start with Jesus. He was aware that Holy Spirit had moved and flown out of him in power. He was aware of it. Because there were a bunch of people touching him, but he didn't say it about everybody. He was aware when power left his body. I love that, because he's called us to be aware of Holy Spirit working in and through us and for us. He works in, through, and for you all the time. Are you aware on a daily, moment-by-moment basis? Or are you stuck in your thinking? And I love this. It was a revelation, I don't remember when. I've been thinking about this sermon forever. She cast off the old thinking, she put her faith into action and her belief into action, and then she gained a new identity. He said, daughter. He told her who she was. And she gained a whole new understanding of who Jesus was. If we decide to walk with Holy Spirit, we're going to continually learn new things about who he is. And because I hear a lot of people say, what's the more? He's got so much more, but we have to be willing to learn it and to say, God, whatever you have for me, please show me. Even if it blows my thinking out of the water. Because I don't want just what I got. I want so much more. But are you willing? Are you willing to let go? Because that verse in 2 Corinthians, was it? Yeah. Casting down every high thing. Are you willing to set aside your pride and how you feel about your opinion and your thought processes to say, Holy Spirit, give me new processes, new thought processes. Show me how you see. Help me think how you think. Are you willing to cast down and get rid of those strongholds? Because pride is one of those things that trips us up. Because some of us are so opinionated, we couldn't possibly hear what someone else had to say about a subject. I was that way. Are you willing to be honest about that? Say, God, help me. Take that. One more verse. I love this verse. John 16:33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me, in Christ, in Holy Spirit, in God the Father, you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. You will have trouble. That is what it is. But be of good cheer. Okay, how many people say that? Oh, I know you're going through that, but be of good cheer. But he does, because we can. Be of good cheer, because he has overcome the world. Do you believe that? Or do you want to sit in your situations and believe the words someone said to you that you're not good enough? I'd be like, nope, don't think so. You are the best you. Because Holy Spirit is above and beyond everything we could possibly hope or ask or think. You are the best you. And he said, even though you're going through the junk, be of good cheer. Because he's overcome the junk. He gave you peace. And you know when he said this? He said this while telling the disciples, you're going to leave me. You're all going to run away. It was not long before he was crucified. He knew what was coming. But he also knew he would never be alone. Because Holy Spirit did not leave and will not. Sorry. I was running out of all moisture. That was interesting. So, why don't you stand with me? Lord, I thank you. I thank you because you care more about my thought processes than I do. Lord, I thank you that you have the ability and you've given us freely the gift of the Holy Spirit. You've given it freely, and we can walk in power and life and joy and peace and patience and gentleness and kindness and goodness and self-control. I thank you, God. You are so precious because you love us more than we could possibly imagine. God, I just ask today that you take even a word that was spoken, Lord, and plant a seed in hearts today, Lord, that we would start seeing in our daily lives Holy Spirit taking over. Lord, that we would see him and hear him speaking to us, that we can take our steps and our belief in who you are and put them into action. Because then we gain access. Lord, we want to be a people of power and of love and of sound minds. You have given us the Holy Spirit to walk in all of that. We thank you, God. We ask that you cement and put this in our hearts and have it become a part of our foundational thinking and our perspectives, because you, Holy Spirit, are welcome here. We praise you and we thank you. We give you this day in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. If any of you want to come up and we pray, you are more than welcome to come up. If there is something that's got a hold of your thinking, that has got a hold of how you respond to people, to situations, come up, we'll pray with you. Otherwise, be blessed.